You're listening to the International Children's Arts Network for kids, families, and educators. ICAM Radio is dedicated to empowering children to be curious. That's why every Saturday morning, we hand the mic to the trusty narrator to answer your burning questions. That's next on Who's Smarted.
This is ICAM.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glenydon Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
And KQHR HD2 The Dells and Hood River 88.1.
Psst. Hello, Smarty Pants. As you can hear, I'm rocketing through the cosmos in my state-of-the-art spacecraft, the USS Smarty Pants. Welcome aboard! Since we started smarting together, we've explored the far reaches of our solar system, visited the dwarf planet Pluto, as well as all the big gas giants. Come on, sound guy, we're not still doing that joke, are we?
Sorry. Couldn't help it. Won't happen again.
Anyway, we've also met Venus and Mars and dodged a few asteroids along the way. Today, though, we're not venturing very far. In fact, I don't even need the USS Smarty Pants.
Losing the spacecraft.
Nope. Today, I just need my car.
Cueing car.
Because today, we'll be looking at Mother Earth.
Who, me?
Yep, you, Mother Earth. While it's fun to visit other planets, Earth will always be our home sweet home in the universe.
Well, maybe not always, but I should be good for another 1.5 billion years.
Great! Now, the first question I have is, why is Earth called Earth?
What are you saying, narrator? Is Earth too basic a name for you? Sorry, it's not a cool name like Jupiter, Saturn, or Uranus.
Hey!
Sorry, it's like a reflex.
No, I'm not saying Earth is too basic a name, but it is different than the other planets. Smarty Pants, do you remember what the planets are named after? Is it A, exotic plants and flowers? B, Greek and Roman gods and goddesses? Or C, ancient Egyptian rulers? If you said B, you're right. The planets are named after Greek and Roman gods and goddesses.
Every planet, that is, except me.
Exactly. So, Smarty Pants, do you know where the name Earth comes from? Is it A, an Arabic word meaning beauty? B, a Chinese word meaning life? Or C, a Germanic word meaning the ground? The answer is C.
I get it. All the other planets get named after all-powerful gods and goddesses, but I'm named after mud. Not that I'm complaining. My dirt and soil is magical. I can grow plants and trees that provide oxygen and food to feed humans and animals. Ooh. Well, I won't feel bad about being named after my magical dirt.
Nor should you. In fact, Earth shouldn't feel bad about anything, because it is indeed a magical place in the universe. But, Smarty Pants, just how much do you know about your fascinating home planet? How was Earth formed, and what is it actually made of? What part of it is as hot as our sun? And why are Earth's days actually getting longer? It's time for another whiff of science on
Who's Smarted? Who's Smarted? Who's smart? Is it you? Is it me? Is it science or history? Listen up, everyone. We make smarting lots of fun on Who's Smarted.
Smarty Pants, no doubt you know that Earth is unique. In our own solar system, Earth is the only planet with oceans. And as far as we know, the only planet that supports life. This has a lot to do with where the Earth is located in the solar system. Smarty Pants, do you remember what we call the area near the sun that's not too hot to evaporate all our water? but not too cold to freeze it? Is it A, the habitable zone, B, the life zone, or C, the twilight zone? Go ahead and shout out your answers.
That's right, Smarty Pants. The reason I have liquid water covering 70% of my surface is because I live in the habitable zone. Ooh. I could spend an entire episode telling you all about this perfect spot for life.
Actually, we've already done an episode on the habitable zone. Smarty Pants, if you haven't listened to it already, I recommend you check it out later.
Oh, I see. You already talked about the habitable zone without me. It looks like you don't need dear old Mother Earth, do you?
Mom! I mean, Mother Earth! Of course we need you! We wouldn't be here without you. Trust me, you're the most important planet in the whole universe. And even though humans have lived on Earth for a long, long time, scientists are still learning more about you every day.
Aw, you're so sweet. But you're wrong.
You're not the most important planet?
No, that's right. It's the part where you said humans have been on Earth for a long, long time.
Oh.
Face it, trusty narrator. Humans are a pretty new part of my history. To put it in perspective, let's shrink time and say I was born yesterday, exactly 24 hours ago. Based on that, how long ago do you think humans appeared?
What an interesting question. Smarty Pants, what do you think? Maybe 12 hours ago? 4 hours ago? An hour ago? 45 minutes? 30 minutes? The length of an episode of Who Smarted?
Nope, nope, and nope. Try 34 seconds.
34 seconds? That's how long it takes me to eat a slice of pizza.
Nom, 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 nom.
Like I said, humans really are newcomers. In actual time, humans first appeared 1.8 million years ago, which sounds like a lot until you consider the Earth, aka me, has been around for more than 4.5 billion with a B years. So please forgive me if I'm still getting used to y'all.
Yeah, humans can be a little much. What was that?
Satellites. Huh? Y'all keep launching satellites into space to buzz around me, taking pictures, studying weather, helping you go online, watch TV, and talk with friends.
Whoa.
Less than 70 years ago, zero satellites. Now there's thousands of them. And I hear there's plans to launch at least 30,000 more in the next 10 years. But of course that doesn't bother me. I mean, you humans like to have insects buzzing around your heads, right?
Whoops, sorry.
Look at me, Ma! Look at me!
Speaking of satellites...
Over here, Ma! Look at me! I'm glowing!
I know, dear. You reflect the sun at me almost every night.
Hey, that's the moon!
Yep, my firstborn. Funny you should call it the moon, as if it's the only one. I mean, every planet in our solar system except Mercury and Venus has them. And every other moon gets a fancy name like Phobos, Ganymede, or Titan. My moon is just called the moon. A lot of thought went into that name, huh? Also, I'm the only major planet in the solar system with just one moon, which I guess is a good thing. I can only imagine a second moon would just be called Moon 2.
Hey, Ma! Over here! Look at me! Look at me!
I gotta say, a moon can be pretty exhausting. It keeps tugging at me all day, changing my ocean tides and whatnot.
Look at me!
It's also slowing me down. I don't spin like I used to.
Really?
It's true. You know how a day is about 24 hours now? Can you guess how long it was when I was first created about 4.5 billion years ago?
Smarty Pants, what do you think? How long was a typical Earth day then? 20 hours, 12 hours, or 6 hours?
Honey, it was 6 hours long. The young me could twirl like an Olympic figure skater. But then something happened.
kablooey!
I got hit by a massive rock, and a chunk of me came out. And that became this moon. It's been circling around me ever since, and as its gravity pulls on me and creates ocean tides, it slows me down. Not that you'd notice. It took about 620 million years for my day to increase from 22 to 24 hours. It's going to take several million more to add just a minute or two, but I'm definitely slowing down.
Ma, you're not looking. Look at me.
I see you. You're really hard to miss, dear. You're the fifth largest moon in the solar system and about a quarter of my size. No other major planet has a moon that close to its own size. Narrator, have you done an episode on the moon yet?
Yeah.
Of course you did.
And that's when we learned that the moon contains a lot of the same material as the Earth, which is why scientists believe the moon came from you.
Uh-huh. We're both rocky spheres, though I'm not perfectly round. I actually bulge a little bit at my equator, though not enough for you to notice. Compared to the gas giants. Oh my, was that you?
No, just a recycled joke.
It'll always be funny.
Like I was saying, compared to planets like Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, I'm pretty small. But I'm actually the largest of the rocky terrestrial planets, bigger than Mars, Venus, and Mercury. You know, the planets closest to the sun. Oh, and speaking of the sun, when the solar system formed from hot swirling gas and dust, eventually I cooled. But not all of me. There's a part that remains as hot as the sun.
Whoa.
Wow, Smarty Pants, do you know what part that is? No, not Florida. The answer after this quick break. And now, back to Who Smarted. Brrr. Oh, Smarty Pants, you hear that cold wind? There are some places on Earth that are brutally cold, where you'll need more than just a coat and mittens to survive the elements. One such spot has temperatures lower than minus 133 degrees Fahrenheit, or 92 degrees below zero Celsius. It's a continent known for its snow and ice. That's right, Antarctica. But what about the other end of the thermometer? Where are some of the Earth's hottest temperatures? If you said the desert, you're right. The Death Valley Desert in the United States is home to the highest surface temperature ever recorded, a whopping 134 degrees Fahrenheit, or 56.7 degrees Celsius. But that's not Earth's hottest spot, not by a long shot.
Huh?
So what is?
You're standing on it. Everyone is. That's because my hottest part is my center.
You see, the Earth is made up of four main layers. The top layer is the crust. That's where you and I live, and it contains everything from mountains to oceans. Beneath that is a thick layer of molten rock called the mantle. Go farther down, and you'll reach a hot, liquid layer that's mostly made up of the metals iron and nickel. This is called the outer core. Then, at the center of the Earth, is a solid, blazing hot, ball of nickel and iron called the inner core. Remember, I said the hottest temperature recorded on Earth is 134 degrees Fahrenheit? Well, the temperature at the Earth's inner core is believed to be about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which also happens to be the temperature on the surface of the sun.
Whoa.
Oh my, you wouldn't want a vacation there. Better to stay on the surface, where my atmosphere of mostly nitrogen and oxygen provides the perfect temperature for all my creatures, including people. Though with all your trash and pollution, you're not taking very good care of me.
You're right. We shouldn't harm our planet, because there's nothing else like it. Scientists have found more than 5,000 planets outside our solar system, and so far, they haven't found one perfect for life, like Earth. Our home is unique, and it's the only one we have.
So clean your room, clean your planet, and always listen to your mother, Earth. Is someone crying?
It's not me.
Sorry. I love you, Mom.
A super shout out to Hillel in Edkins Park, Pennsylvania. We're so glad you love listening to Who Smarted while building with Lego bricks in your room, and that your teacher lets you listen as part of science class in school. What better places to smart than that? This episode, The Earth, was written by Dave Beaudry and voiced by Charlotte Cohn, Gia Davis, Adam Tex Davis, and Jerry Colbert. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Who Smarted is recorded and mixed at the Relic Room Studios. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. The theme song is by Brian Suarez, with lyrics written and performed by Adam Tex Davis. Who Smarted was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert. This has been an Atomic Entertainment production.
Uptown Funk, and this is the International Dance Hour. We'll have music from South Africa, Brazil, Cuba, and Italy. But first, here's a song from Cuba.
Ladies and gentlemen, un joyeux brouhaha, un chaleureux chahut nous retient autour d'une table à peau du ventre bien tendu. Les vieux finissent l'eau de vie tandis que les jeunes mangent leur pain blanc en chatouillant les petits qui s'étouffent en rigolant. Les repas le dimanche midi, comme je sais plus qui disait, le bonheur ça se trouve pas en lingots, mais en petite monnaie. Une forte tête blonde termine sous la menace ses minuscules dés de viande en faisant la grimace. Il en donne un sur deux au chien, moi j'y vois clair dans son petit jeu. Il me supplie du regard, alors je ferme les yeux. Les repas le dimanche midi, comme je sais plus qui disait, le bonheur ça se trouve pas en lingots, mais en petite monnaie. Le bébé en bout de table, sur sa chaise d'arbitre, surveille d'un œil abstrait l'arbre généalogique. Dire qu'on vénère tellement ce petit incontinent, la grand-mère l'embrasse en rital, je vous jure que c'est mieux avec l'accent. Ça me rappelle quand on était gamin, on faisait nos prières en italien. J'ai longtemps cru que Dieu était rital, mais maintenant je sais bien qu'il est américain. Les dunes de sel pour aspirer les taches de vin rouge renversé et les sujets qui fâchent. Les vieux souvenirs vacances roulent sur la nappe, les miettes de pain, les blagues plutôt grivoises, slalom entre les bouteilles de vin. Les repas le dimanche midi, comme je sais plus qui disait, le bonheur ça se trouve pas en lingots, mais en petite monnaie. La prune, la poire, la cerise, on va siroter tout le verger. Le grand-père sort les cigares et se les fait tous taxer. Morceaux de sucre dans l'alcool, raffinement de gastronome, c'est la chasse au canard dans le mar de Bourgogne.
Les repas
le dimanche midi, comme je sais plus qui disait, le bonheur, ça se trouve pas en lingots, mais en petite monnaie, en petite monnaie!
Here is a song from South America.
Chacoalhe o corpo, balança, estremeça, que pra cabeça não se tem coisa melhor. Queime um punhado de tuia fundanga, solte essa franga e toque fogo no paiol. Bota pra fora esses troços estranhos e tome um banho de aroeira com timbó. Pegue o mal de surpresa, dê um nó e despache a tristeza num ebó. Barco sereno, sem pressa, não entre nessa de remar contra a maré. Se está gostoso, não jante afobado, guarde um bocado desse bolo pro café. Quem cospe brasa é porque comeu fogo, esconde o jogo que depois se vê qual é. Pegue o mal de surpresa pelo pé e despache a tristeza pra Guiné. A tristeza pra Guiné. Faça da vida um cachimbo de barro, que até com sarro é bom de se saborear. Vai sempre em frente, mas cuide do jarro, não deixe o carro na frente do boi passar. Após os maus sempre vem bons instantes, não veio antes, mas depois sempre virá. Bote a melancolia no jacá e ele mesmo esvazia lá no mar. Bote a melancolia no jacá e ele mesmo esvazia lá.
ICAN Radio is proud to sponsor the Metropolitan Youth Symphony as they present their 50th anniversary season finale, featuring Grammy winner Esperanza Spalding, Tuesday, June 17th at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. You can hear the world premiere of Spalding's piece, Dispelling the Lie of Lies, with other works. In celebration of 50 years, more than 60 alumni musicians will join MYS on stage along with their founder and other special guests. All Classical's Krista Wessel MCs. Tickets and information can be found at playmys.org.
papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Se você vai com o mundo, não mundo bata vai. Nanos barco de papel, nunca vai sonhar o futuro. Se você vai com o mundo, não mundo bata vai. Nanos barco de papel. Tava sonhando futuro, na nos 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 barco de papel. Tava sonhando futuro, no tava conquista estrelas, no tava te chega lua. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. No trabalho conquista estrelas, no trabalho te diga lua. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Nanos barco de papel, fazer um mundo de ternura. Nanos barco de papel.
Let's take a dance break.
Listening to the International Children's Arts Network. ICANN is a radio station dedicated to kids like you.
Hooray!
On air and online at icannradio.org. There you can find coloring pages, activities, and a ton of informational blogs. That's icannradio.org.
We'll be right back.
zoo, and they all ask for you. They all ask for you.
For who?
Well, they even inquired about you. I went on down to the Audubon Zoo, and they all ask for you. The monkey's ass, the tiger's ass, and the elephant ass me too.
L'accompagna lo studentino che birichino d'amor le parlerà. Oh, sei fresca e vellutata, e dirà scandalizzata quando già l'avrà baciata. Lungo il viale che sospironi e che lezioni, ma senza il professore. Ma se all'esame un batticuore muto il labbro farà, e non saprai al professore cosa dire, si sa che seccatura, e allora che brutta figura, che bella bocciatura. Lungo il viale che lacrimoni da quegli occhioni, azzurri come il mare. La mocciata, ma lo studente, dal cuore ardente, la sa riconsolare. Oh, con zero in geografia, ehi, e con tre in filosofia, tu sarai per sempre sua nel diploma di mogliettina. Oh, studentina, c'è la felicità. Dixie! Con tre in filosofia tu sarai per sempre sua nel diploma di mogliettina. Oh, studentina, c'è la felicità.
Was an Italian song by Freddie Colt and his Red Cat Jazz Band. This is a Caribbean rhyme from Cuba.
Rima caribeña. Néctar de candor, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. Rima caribeña, néctar de candor, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. La puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. Entre San Juan y La Habana hay un puente solidario. Entre San Juan y La Habana hay un puente solidario. Lo cruzaremos a diario en pos de feliz mañana. Escúchame, borincano, oye bien lo que te digo. Tú siempre serás mi amigo, yo siempre seré tu hermano. Ay, sí.
Rima caribeña, néctar de candón. La puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. Rima caribeña, néctar de candor, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor.
Con su carita risueña siempre de muy buena gana, con su carita risueña siempre de muy buena gana, al igual de la cubana, baila la puertorriqueña. Caribeño a golpear en la cintura, le transmite la ricura que hay en nuestro suelo isleño.
Ay, sí. Rima caribeña, néctar de candón, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. Rima caribeña, néctar de candón, la puertorriqueña, margarita en flor. La puertorriqueña, margarita en flor.
Siempre será la dueña.
donna.
House Children's Museum supports ICANN Radio with 20 hands-on exhibits located in 5 historic houses of Salem. We provide the opportunity for children to learn through creative play and discovery. For more information, visit acgilbert.org.
Mi mala.
só e não tinha amor nenhum. Meu coração batia mansinho, tum, tum, tum.
No tempo que eu era só e não tinha amor nenhum.
I'm Mr. Eric. You're listening to ICANN on HD2 and streaming online. What If World is coming up next.
You're listening to the International Children's Arts Network, an all-classical Portland public media station.
KQAC HD2 Portland 89.9.
KQOC HD2 Glen Eden Beach 88.1.
KSLC HD2 McMinnville 90.3.
KQHR HD2 The Dalles and Hood River 88.1.
What if kittens break the clock in Spiel? And what if unicorns were real? What if you could fly or travel back in time?
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and today we've got a question from Leo.
Hi, my name is Leo, and my favorite thing is going to Las Vegas. And my question is, what if worms wore pajamas and played with toys? Bye.
Las Vegas? That's a new one. And I also don't think we've had any good worm characters before. Let's get one more question from a patron named Winnie.
Hi, my name is Winnie. I like playing with board games and card games. And my question is, what if board games could play themselves? Bye.
Thank you so much, Winnie. She has sent in a lot of questions. And this one really matches up well with Leo's question. So let's find out.
Not so fast, Mr. Eric.
Alabaster Zero.
The very Sam.
Don't you mean same?
No, I mean the very Sam. As in Sam, who I'm shouting out.
Oh, well, good for you. And thank you, Sam.
That's really cool how you got the one shout out to give today.
Thank you so much. It has been a while, I'll admit.
Yeah, I only got 5 to give today, so like kind of a slow week for me.
Fred, what have I told you about gloating?
You said gloating is not nice, but then you forgot to tell me what gloating is. Anyway, I got so many shout outs to give to Connor and William.
That's kind of gloating what you're doing right now.
They've listened to my Fred interview 56,000 times.
Are you sure about that?
And then a shout out to Hunter. He's almost 8 years old.
Okay, Connor and William and Hunter, thank you.
And then a shout out to Ferwin. Okay, sorry. So that's F-E-R-W-I-N. Auen. Farron. Okay. Thanks, Farron. And last but not least, that will be a big ol' Bucky Woof Woof shout out for Owens. All the Owens? Or the one in particular, but if you're listening and your name's also Owen, then I guess that's a shout out you can say is kind of for you too.
Well, thank you, Owen, Farron, Hunter, Connor, William, and Sam.
Now let's find out what if board games could play themselves, and what if worms wore pajamas and played with toys. One thing you might not know about What If World is that different creatures have different ways of getting there. Now you kids, of course, can just listen to this show pretty easy. Me, I usually need to get into my studio before I can really see what's going on there. And worms? Well, worms need a very particular patch of dirt. It happens to be very close to where you live. It's known as a wormhole, and it's no bigger than a fistful of dirt. There's always a few worms wiggling around in there. So if you find one, make sure to cover it gently back up with dirt and give those worms a chance to get home. Speaking of which, there were two worms in particular that were just taking their very first trip to What If World. Their names are Winnie Winnie Wormworm and Leo Rigolo. You also might not know that worms are hermaphroditic. They're boys and girls all rolled into one. But when Leo got to What If World, he sort of felt like he was a boy worm. Just the same as Winnie felt like she was a girl worm. It didn't matter what parts they had, that's just who they were.
Hey, Winnie,
asked Leo.
You wanna play some action figures with me?
Nothing would please me more than to play action figures with my new What If World friend,
said Winnie. And the two whiled away the afternoon, playing with Leo's toys. Before they knew it, it was starting to get dark. So Leo and Winnie squirmed into their pajamas.
I have a great idea, said Winnie,
who prided herself on her great ideas.
Once we're in our pajamas, we should play some more. I have a tea set at my patch of dirt, and I got that new board game, Sparkleupoly.
That sounds like so much fun,
said Leo. Leo and Winnie hadn't noticed a crowd of worms. They were wearing pajamas of all different kinds, full-length flannels and nightgowns, fitted robes and silky matching sets. Honestly, if it weren't for their pajamas, you couldn't even tell these worms apart.
What's so funny?
Asked Winnie.
A girl worm asking a boy worm to play girl games like tea and Sparkleupoly.
But we already played dolls together.
Technically, those were action figures.
But they look the exact same.
Well, no, mine are different colors.
So a girl worm can play with action figures, but a boy worm can't play with tea sets?
Now you get it. Time for bed, worms.
And all the other worms wiggled into the dirt, leaving Leo and Winnie alone again.
That's a double standard. Besides, there doesn't need to be girl toys and boy toys at all,
said Winnie, who, priding herself on her bright ideas, tended to get very upset when things didn't make sense.
Well, all these worms are new to What If World, and it's hard to understand things. So they think of girls one way, and boys another way, and moms one way, and dads another way, and old ladies one way, and old men another way. It helps them understand the big, wide world that can frankly be kind of scary for our tiny worm brains.
Well, just because they can't understand us does not mean they get to make fun of us.
You're right, Winnie. It's not fair. If I had it my way, I'd play games all the time. But forget about it, Winnie. Let's just go to our bed of soil.
And Leo disappeared beneath the dirt.
Not fair, not nice, and not acceptable,
complained Winnie, until she had
ding
her own bright idea. She took her Sparkleupoly game and her tea set down to her secret laboratory. All the smartest worms have them. And she set to work, inventing who knows what. Well, you probably know if you listen to the What If question.
Sparkle, Arkle, Wappily!
shouted the bright, glittery board game as it came to life.
Wonderful. Now you're a board game that can play itself. So maybe Leo and I can watch you play without anyone laughing at us.
What a sparkalicious idea! I'm gonna start playing right now!
But the game was so bright and sparkly and mystifying that Winnie couldn't look away.
It's 3-3. My happy side has won 3 times, and my even happier side has won 3 times.
Oh, wow, I've been here for hours. Maybe I should invent something a little more cooperative.
Suit yourself! I'm just gonna keep sparkle-lop-a-lop-a-ling.
Okay. I know. I'll invent a self-pouring intelligent tea set, and I'll call it Spitz for self-pouring intelligent tea set.
I'm done. You already invented me,
said the pink tea set, spraying warm tea out its spout every time it spoke.
Oh, excellent. Let's go find Leo.
Spuckabuckabobbly, are you coming?
I wouldn't miss this reunion for all the sparkly stars in the Shinyverse.
A simple yes or no would suffice.
Winnie scooped up Spitz and Sparkleopoly and made her way to Leo's patch of dirt, where all she found was a note.
Gone to Lost Vegas, where boys can play all day and night. Well, shall we proceed to Lost Vegas?
If that's where we'll find our friend.
And so Winnie, still wearing her worm pajamas, knotted herself around Spitz and Sparkleopoly and started burrowing all the way to Lost Vegas. Lost Vegas was many worm lengths from Winnie's little patch of dirt, and when she finally reached this brightly colored city, she was overwhelmed by all the sights and colors. Winnie, Sparkleopoly, and Spitz searched through buildings with giant glass shark tanks and oases with real palm trees and walking tours and eating tours and magic shows and secret gardens. But they couldn't find Leo in any of the places kids could go.
Balloon rides! Get your hot air balloon rides all across what-if world!
Cried Abacus P. Grumbler.
Abacus, I thought you were a teacher.
Not on the weekends. On the weekends I sell hot air balloon rides across what-if world. I also work for the government. You know, you'd think all of it put together I'd be making more money.
So true, so true. Could you give us a ride?
Yes, we need to see all across Lost Vegas,
or else we might lose our friend forever.
Your friend wouldn't happen to be a worm, would he?
He is indeed a worm.
Yes, there aren't very many in Lost Vegas. He wanted to get into some place called the Cardasino, and I told him it was no place for children, so he insisted I just make him an old worm instead.
Abacus, how could you?
And Winnie Winnie Worm Worm took off, dragging her friends along under the hot sun all the way to the Cardasino.
Excuse me, kids. Can't allow you in the Cardasino. Business rules, you know.
It was Mr. Business in a snazzy suit, looking down with distaste at this worm in her dirty pajamas.
Oh, well, I'm looking for an old worm in here. I think he's lost his way.
Yeah, it's called Lost Vegas.
Oh, this is terrible!
And Sparkleopoly sparkled, and she cried glitter all over the casino. The bright lights and jangly ringing coming from this little board game seemed to attract a lot of attention. People started looking away from their slots and their tables toward this bright and noisy game.
Wow, you know, we spend big bucks trying to make things that are this distracting.
And a crowd had formed around Sparkleopoly.
Now my happy side will play my even happier side, but also there's a third player.
You're finally gonna let me play?
No, the third player is my slightly less happy side.
I bet 20 ifers on our slightly less happy side.
I'll bet 50 on happy.
And people started holding out money, placing bets on
who would win at Sparkleopoly.
All right.
Of course, Mr. Business stepped right in.
All right, taking all bets. 10 ifers to 1 says the even happier side is not gonna win this round.
You'd let my friend be unhappy just so your patrons can bet on her?
What can I say? People love betting on things they don't quite understand.
But that's horrible.
And you know what people love even more than that? Is having something they can sit down and root for.
And giant decks of cards flew out from all directions, building themselves into bleachers that all the grown-up gamblers could sit upon and watch Sparkleopoly play herself.
Well, I've gotta go find my friend. Will you let me into your cardcino now?
Leave that Shinopoly game.
Sparkleopoly.
Whatever. Keep my customers happy, and you can go wherever you please.
Okay.
And before Winnie left, she walked up to Sparkleopoly and whispered something in the middle of the board.
Hey, you're not gonna make my customers unhappy, are ya? Because when they're unhappy, I'm very unhappy.
Oh, your customers will be delighted. Now let me go find my friend.
And Mr. Business waved her on warily. She found Leo Rigolo playing at a mostly abandoned table. Mr. Mauser was dealing out cards to Leo, Marshall Mallow, and Dracomax.
What are you doing here? I finally found a game it's okay for boys to play as much as they want.
Excuse me? We cannot play as much as we want. We have to play in moderation.
Oh no, Bobby Dabu, no.
That's right. We also have to be inclusive when we play.
Well, I don't care what you have to say. Leo and I are gonna play toys together.
And Winnie brought out her tea set and set Spitz up on the felt table.
Let's get some tea going.
And despite the fact that Spitz had some difficulty speaking, he poured a perfect tea ceremony for everyone at the table, handing out cream and sugar with perfect care, sliding saucers across the felt table as if by will alone.
Okay, so drink up already.
Well, look at this. I bet a lot of you never thought you'd be allowed to play tea with a girl.
Oh, I have seen you play tea with Marsha Mallow.
And I play tea with my sister, Ms. Mauser, all the time.
I am not often invited to tea. Because I'm so big, and I eat all the crumpets and also sometimes the house by accident.
See, when people get smart, they know that everybody can play games together.
And it isn't just boy games and girl games. It's everybody games.
Well, I guess those pajama worms just have a lot of growing up to do.
And Spitz topped off the tea for all 5 of them, and they enjoyed some very fancy, fun tea time together. Until...
Whee! Everybody wins!
Sparkleopoly was ringing and jingling and sparkling and flashing in the distance. Mr. Business came running through the cheering crowd, his face red and his suit torn.
Winnie, if everybody wins, the cardcino loses.
Oh, I guess you were betting on something you didn't understand. Was that fun for you?
No, I'm supposed to always win no matter what. That's how the cardcino works.
Oh, but then Sparkleopoly, there's a way that everyone can win.
Morning, Momo.
I knew that too.
To be fair, we did all learn that over tea just now.
Maybe you can join us for our next tea party.
Get out. Get out of my cardcino.
I will just fly through this house of cards then.
Actually, that's not necessary. Oh, no.
And as Dracomax burst through the oversized card walls, the cardcino gently collapsed in upon itself.
Okay, I guess that one's on me.
Leo picked up Sparkleopoly, and Winnie grabbed old Spitz, and they started squirming their way back home.
Anyone up for a game of 52 colossal card pickup? Well, I didn't think so.
The end. Well, Winnie and Leo, I hope you enjoyed your story. I'd like to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Craig Martinson for our theme song, Charles Kim, my old boss at the Little Gym of Brooklyn Heights, still the best boss I've ever had. And all you kids at home who know there's no need to have boy games and girl games, boy toys and girl toys. The more we play with different kinds of people, the more we grow, and the more they do too. Until we meet again, keep wondering.
Programming is made possible by the Renaissance Foundation, committed to a unique scholarship program for high-achieving, first-in-family college students with financial need. The Renaissance Scholars Program provides renewable financial support for up to 1,000 students each year. To learn more, you can visit trfwebsite.org.
Dancing, are we really here? Is this feeling something real, or will it disappear? Are we dancing? Does the music soar? Confessing things I alone can see, or is my imagination flying away with me? Are we dancing? Say we really are, then I'll know that I reached into the sky. I reached into the sky and touched a star.
National Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.
You're listening to ICANN, and it's poetry time. I'm Emma Clark, and forget having human best friends, I'd rather have an alien best friend. I'll be reading this poem called Frank the Friendly Alien by Ken Nesbitt. You can find more poems like this on poetryforkids.com. That's poetry, the number 4, kids.com. I'm Frank, the friendly alien from deepest outer space. My face is fairly friendly. It's such a friendly face. My teeth are sharp and pointed. My eyes are big and red. I have such friendly features upon my friendly head. My horns are green and shiny. I have exactly 3. My nose is long and crooked, the way a nose should be. My ears are huge and scaly. My tongue is brown and blue. The people from my planet all look friendly like I do. My claws are shaped like daggers. My hands are huge and hairy. I'd love to stay and tell you more, but you look much too scary.
That was poetry time with my friend Emma. I hope aliens aren't afraid of us. Here's my friend Killian to tell us about his alien adventure. But don't worry, this is all just pretend.
If I could go on any adventure, it would be an alien adventure. It's 9:30 p.m. I'm taking Helga for a walk. I keep seeing weird things glitching out. And crazy things happen. The clouds are just disappearing. And the sky just turns gray. All of a sudden, the sky turns red. Weird alien just flickering everywhere. It's hard to explain. I am Killian, and I am 8 years old. This is ICANN on HD2.